broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on our guest, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. And we talked about waging peace, opposing the war in Vietnam, an article written at counterpunch.org, doing a phenomenal job. We also talked about our American gulag. Our prisons get more oppressive by the day, writes attorney John Whitehead. And he writes it, and again, counterpunch.com. So we talked about two articles from that wonderful news I don't know what you call it, political news service, commentary service. Anyway, phenomenal work by both those authors. We talked about we're returning to the blueprint for freedom. That is the answer when asked, what are we to do? We should turn to the blueprint for liberty. We talked about on Wednesday, September 17th. That's coming up, ladies and gentlemen, a week from tomorrow. It'll be the 232nd anniversary of the signing of the Constitution of the United States of America in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we talked about it a little bit with Lowell Nelson because he won't be with us next week. So anyway, good for Lowell. And we talked about 1987, former Secretary of Agriculture under the Eisenhower administration. His name is Ezra Taft Benson. He asked, how then can we best befriend the Constitution in this critical hour? And how do we secure the blessings of liberty and ensure the protection and guidance of our Father in heaven, of God, in other words? And the answer is we must be righteous. We must learn the principles of the Constitution and the traditions of our founding fathers. We must become involved in civic affairs to see that we are properly represented. And we must make our influence felt by our vote, our letters, our teaching, and our advice. We must become accurately informed and then let others know how we feel. We must spread the word. We must visit with our neighbors and other people of influence in the media and in our neighborhoods. It will take all of us. That was our one Liberty Roundtable Live, and that's exactly what Liberty Roundtable Live, the radio broadcast, is intended to do. So we're doing our best to carry out that admonition, if you will. Second hour, we had our buddy on, Dr. Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation is his goal. His website is freedomsrisingsun.com. That's freedomsrisingsun.com. And he has a webinar every week, Q&A on the Constitution and more. Just tremendous stuff. He's got a collegiate homeschool series to help people understand the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the founding documents. Just tremendous, tremendous work by Dr. Scott Bradley. And we talked about Trump admin demands Apple, Google, turn over gun owner data. This is disaster. Okay, Donald, I don't know what he's thinking on this. We thought he was such a liberty-loving guy, and I pray he's done more good than any other president, but yet he just, I don't know who he's surrounded by is my biggest concern. But you know what? Why is government weaponizing and using mental health as an excuse to take away our rights? Taking away guns from the good guys is not the answer. Using mental illness to then back us all into a corner because we may or may not agree or disagree with a political viewpoint is wrong. It smacks of evil, ladies and gentlemen. The United States and communist nation of China are both using, quote, big data to create a, quote, social credit score. It is disaster. Donald Trump is not well, writes The Atlantic. They're going to turn this against President Trump as well. All right, we talked about the well-known quarterback. He got attacked for promoting the Bible. Yeah, his name is, with the Saints, but his name is Drew Brees. And Drew Brees stood up for the Bible. He defends faith. He said, I stand up for love, respect, and I accept all. And then he says, take your Bible to school day, supporter of that. I'm a supporter of that with the great NFL player. Anyway, sad tale to tell. Are feds fighting manipulated media with algorithms? They got a new program that takes aim at disinformation in the political process. But again, who decides what's disinformation? All right. They say the technology is already here to create images, scenes, and scenarios in video that look real, but they're not. They're called deep fakes. They can give the false impression that somebody is doing and or saying something that's very, very bad or evil indeed, but oftentimes it isn't even true. It's called a deep fake. But DARPA, in other words, the government agency, is working on a program. They call it a semantic forensics program to identify technology that will identify deep fakes and make the automatic detection and the outing of these videos a reality. Again, be very careful, folks. You think government is your solution, and I'm telling you right now, government is not your solution. 90% of the ability to create these deep fakes came from government research and or government programs in the first place. All right? Government wants you to believe big tech like Facebook and Google and YouTube and Twitter and all these. Okay, that they're the enemy, that somehow they've just got too big. They're just too behemoth. They're just too controlling, and government's got to rein them in. But that's the lie. Government built these big companies in the first place. Okay, the Hegelian dialectic is live and well. Don't fall for it, folks. And that is a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. LibertyRoundTable.com for live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. If you want to donate, click on the link. If you believe we provide value in our commentary and hard-hitting News the networks refuse to use talk, spread the word. Donate today, LibertyRoundTable.com. By the way, this half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundTable.com, or you can text or call 801-669-2211, localhoneyman.com on the internet there. Check it out, Raw Honey, delivered to your door today. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I've got two headlines, Kurt, and I don't think there's a coincidence between the two. The first one, you ready? Amazon has 30,000 open positions in the United States. They say including full and part-time jobs at its headquarters. And that's in Seattle, of course. And then they say technology hubs and warehouses across the country as well. 30,000 open positions. That does not include the seasonal work positions either. And they say, you know, a significant number of them are in tech and in warehouse work. Kurt, what do you think of that?
Well, frankly, Sam, I'm not surprised. I think that Amazon has tried to carefully pay as little as possible for their employees, and in the employment world today, there's a lot of options, I think, for most people. I see signs almost everywhere I go that say now hiring, etc. And I think that's part of this whole thing of making things here and bringing companies back. So that's, I mean, at least that's the way I see that whole thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Amazon basically is hiring. And on one hand, Amazon's very careful with cash, for sure. But, you know, they employ over 650,000 people, Kurt. And they, have an effect of raising the, and this is interesting, raising the wage of workers. I don't want to use the word minimum wage because that's government mandated. But in this case, forget government mandated wages, Kurt. Amazon, by its nature, because it hires and brings in so many employees, whenever Amazon enters an area, the wages go up, Kurt. You want to know why?
Competition?
Yes, sir. It's exactly why. Yeah. It's exactly why. And so, for example, Amazon was building a warehouse in Salt Lake City, and instantly, warehouse work wages went up a dollar or two. Just because people knew if they want to keep their workers, they better give them a raise. Or if people are trying to hire somebody, if you want them to consider you rather than Amazon, you better give a little bit more money. I bring this up because, look, it isn't government. The minimum wage in Utah is like $7.25 an hour or something. But separate from that, without government mandate or anything else, the free market naturally rises wages when jobs are plentiful, Kurt. And I think it's great news. And this next story that I highlight is a companion story that I don't believe is unrelated. I think it's completely related. Ready for it? Almost 6.2 million people have dropped off food stamps since Trump first took office. Think these are related, Kurt? There now.
Well, I think so, Sam. I mean, I believe almost anybody would prefer a job, you know, versus waiting for a check from the government for doing nothing. You know, I think that people, it's just what God made us to want to do. It's, you know, I mean, it's contributing, and you just know inside that it's better than doing that. And so, you know, it's neat to me to see as that money stays here and that those businesses here, I say in America, and those businesses continue to need more helpers or whatever, then, you know, it just kind of a, I guess you could say, it's not a bad cycle. It's a good, it's not a vicious cycle. It's a good one.
Amen.
That's going on.
So when we get back from the break here in a second, Kurt, I want to talk a little bit about these two stories, and I want to talk about what could we do to increase the economy even further. What next steps would make the biggest difference? I got a couple of thoughts, maybe you do as well, but I commend Donald Trump for getting 6.2 million people off food stamps. I'm not trying to be you know, abusive to those who may be suffering. I'm just saying, when jobs are plentiful, good things happen. And I believe in everybody's heart when they go to work, there's dignity there. And it all I'm telling you is good breeds good, right? You got to dig it. Let's talk about it.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
All right, so the question is, there's two incredible stories right next to each other. Amazon has 30,000 open positions in the United States alone. Just a job, what do you want to call it, creating behemoth? Almost 6.2 million people have dropped off food stamps since Donald Trump took office. I think the stories are directly related. And I don't think we need a minimum wage. It just proves even in Utah, the minimum wage is $7.25. But when Amazon comes to Salt Lake City, instantly all the other warehouse jobs tick up a dollar or two per hour. They're at like $15 an hour now, $14 in that kind of a range because of Amazon. Without government mandates or anything else, just the natural free market doing its natural work. You know, supply and demand kind of has an effect on things, just so you know. Founding fathers, wise as could be. Anyway, jobs coming back. That's great news. But what could we do to enhance this even further? Kurt, any ideas?
Well, the key for me would be you basically correct the money system, you know, and then, of course, you enhance, you know, the keeping of the Ten Commandments in America. You eliminate the income tax that we didn't have, you know, in the whole role of making America great again. You look back and say, hey, what worked before we had all this debt and before we had these things? And you move to that. So those are some steps. I'm sure there's others, a lot of other good things.
Yeah, those are great macro steps, broader steps that relate to the underpinnings for sure. I would say one of the things that need to be done, and I agree, honest money's at the helm for sure. One of the things that could be done, though, is finding ways to let money stay in a community longer. In other words, I appreciate Amazon or Walmart, but the second you spend your money, it whisks back, if you will, to headquarters, Seattle in Amazon's case, or, Arkansas or whatever, in Walmart's case. But the money spends once, and then it's gone. One of the things that needs to be done, if you're a real economist and you understand true economy, you would say, I need the money to spend around town more, right? I need you to spend money, well, get your paycheck, spend money at the dollar store. Well, you'd say, oh, that's a big behemoth, and it just goes away too. Part of the problem is these corporate chains that are everywhere. I mean, it just sucks the money out of societies. But I would submit to you that if you had local businesses, you know, you spend money with your buddy Steve, and Steve spends money with his friend Anna, or, you know, whatever, and we start to spend the money more than once in an economy, that would make a huge difference. The goal would be to bring back small business. I'm not against some of these chains. They provide great service, many of them. Many of them do a good job. I'm not here to down them. They're obviously successful to some degree for a reason. But I would say that the small town, the little man, is a song that Alan Jackson wrote about this very topic, you know. Anyway, all I'm telling you is that we would need to find ways to bring back local business and spend the money multiple times in the economy. That would make a huge, huge difference in America. But it's very hard to do and very hard to compete against these behemoth chains. And most of the reason that it's so hard is because of regulation and manipulation by government officials. I'll give you a teeny example. I'm running a given business in a community to do something, and all of a sudden a big behemoth chain comes in to compete with me, and the government then, on my local level, gives some special privilege, tax benefit or whatever, some handout, creating an unfair playing field. And now I'm struggling to deal with my taxes and this special privilege that this new chain company got in my area, and it's very hard to compete in those scenarios. And so we need to remember that we need to spend money multiple times in an area or in a community, not just let the money siphon off or leave. That's one. Number two, the way you do that then is you make sure that you don't use government to pull the lever in favor of one at the expense of another. You create a level playing field and let the best man win, if you will. And bringing back small business and entrepreneurs in America is one of the great, great things that we're still missing. I commend Donald Trump for getting 6.2 million people off food stamps. It's wonderful. I hope it doubles and triples, and I hope more and more and more people can work. But I also know that it's going to take less regulation. It's going to take government playing its proper role, which is a level playing field, and doing its very best to not interfere with the free market or the free enterprise system. And so those are some things that I think could be looked at or done. The less regulation we have within reason, the better. I get that there needs to be some regulation. There needs to be some coordination for a level playing field. But the way government primarily should do that is through the courts, honoring contracts, making sure that people are honest. Other than that, you know, the sooner government kind of bows out and lets the free market work, the better off we'll be. Anyway, that was a great news piece between both stories, and I thought would provide a little more guidance, a little more solutions that could make a difference, because this is Solutions Radio, right? I got a sad tale to tell, Kurt. 31-year marriage between Todd and Sarah Palin is now kaput, they say. Todd Palin filed for divorce against Sarah, citing incompatibility of temperament. Kurt, do you want to respond to this one?
Well, as you said, at least in my opinion, it's a sad deal when any of this, you know, happens. I don't know the whole story. I suppose there'll be a lot of armchair quarterbacking, people that want to tell you what happened or whatever. In my opinion, it'd be nice if they can have their privacy and that kind of thing, but I don't expect it for them. I think it's sad when any couple has to divorce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree on all counts. And the reason that I bring up this story is because Twitter is just going, the blogosphere and the Twitter systems, they're all going ballistic. I mean, they're literally mocking Sarah, making fun of her, because they love to just attack a conservative that's melting down. And my prayers are with Sarah. My prayers are with Todd. I'm not interested in getting into the details of their marriage. I agree with the privacy point that you're making, Kurt. And I would say it's a sad day. And it's more of a sad day in addition to the divorce, the response that we're getting from people. To me, you should be uniformly sad when people's families break apart. I don't care if you agree with them politically or not. I don't care if you like what they have to say, or you think they're goofy, or you think they're your, quote, political enemy, or whatever you want to say. I don't wish anybody's marriage to melt down. I would not celebrate Bill and Hillary's marriage to melt down, or Joe Biden and his wife, or any of these, Obama, Mr. and Mrs. Obama. I wouldn't delight when any of those people get a divorce. Because, again, I believe family to be the fundamental unit of society. And so I think this is a sad day for Sarah Palin and a sad day for Todd. And my prayers are with them. But I will say this. This idea that we're going to attack them when they're down, kick them when they're down stuff. I'm just calling for civility. And I agree with Kurt. I'm calling for privacy. And I would say what a sad day for the Palins and sad day for the children involved. Now you say, well, most of their children, Sam, are adult by now and grown up and they got problems of their own. I understand all that. I get it. But I don't ever delight in the suffering of another. And so I don't know what's on Sarah's plate for the future. And I don't know when Todd says there's incompatibility of temperament. I don't know. That's a pretty easy way to kind of get out of it. And I wish they could maybe get some help and not divorce. But I will never take delight in the demise of somebody, even if I disagree with him politically. I just think it's wrong. And I'm disappointed in those who are mocking or making fun of or making light of the situation. What a sad tale. All right, but we got good news, Kurt. They tell you that Melania and Donald are always on the rocks. It isn't true at all, but that's what they lie and say. Melania's doing some great stuff. Have you read about it, Kurt?
I am unfamiliar with it, Sam.
Well, I guess she's going to be launching a three-state tour for her Be Best campaign, first of all.
Very good.
And I think that's phenomenal work for Melania. I'm proud of her. She also has turned her focus, Kurt, towards the growing epidemic of using e-cigarettes by children. She says it's horrible, the vaping and everything. It's really bad for your health, and she really wants to help children not turn to nicotine. And she really wants to help people avoid addiction, Kurt. And so she's speaking out pretty boldly against these e-cigarettes for children. And she's going on the Be Best tour, and part of the Be Best is, hey, choose to say no to nicotine. And I have to say, I commend Melania. I don't want to make a law against nicotine per se. But at the same time, I get any effort we can put forward in the free market of ideas to influence people to not do things that are harmful for them. I think that's good. And so anyway, I commend Melania for her efforts on both fronts, continuing to support the Be Best campaign and then tying the, hey, don't use nicotine. I don't want to say tobacco because I don't think these e-cigarettes are tobacco, are they? Maybe the e-cigarettes are in vaping or not. I'm not an expert on this stuff. All I'm telling you is I think it's good news what Sarah Palin's trying to work on. Or not Sarah Palin. Wow. Good news what Melania Trump, the First Lady, is trying to work on, and I commend her. That's all I'm saying. Well, you used to tell girls to wear a skirt. Sadly, not anymore. Details in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump telling reporters yesterday that talks with the Taliban towards ending the war in Afghanistan are dead after the Taliban took responsibility for an attack last week that killed about a dozen people, including a U.S. soldier. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she's glad the U.S. has walked away from those talks.
Remember that out of Afghanistan, the plot and plan that created the attacks on the Twin Towers and on the Pentagon, we cannot allow that to happen again.
And she tells CBS this morning that some kind of U.S. military presence has to remain in Afghanistan to keep this country safe. President Trump's approval rating down to 38% in the latest ABC News Washington Post poll. The July ABC Post poll showed Trump with a record high approval rating of 44%. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Is it possible that an ancient mystery lies behind today's news? The events of the world, world leaders, even Donald Trump, and the events of your life. Could this mystery even reveal the future events that are yet to come? Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and The Book of Mysteries, now brings The Oracle. Prepare to be blown away. The Oracle by Jonathan Cahn. Available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
North Carolina has a special election for a U.S. House seat today between Democrat Dan McCready and Republican Dan Bishop. President Trump was rallying to support Bishop in Fayetteville, North Carolina last night, saying any votes this year for Democrats would be bad for America.
A vote for any Democrat in 2020 and a vote for any Democrat tomorrow in North Carolina is a vote for the rise of radical socialism and the destruction of the American dream.
Schools across the state of New York now required to observe a moment of silence every year on the 9/11 anniversary, which this year, of course, is tomorrow. Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo signing the bill into law yesterday that calls for a brief moment of silence at the beginning of the school day every September 11th. The law also calls on schools across the state to encourage dialogue about the terrorist attacks in September of 2001. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, it used to be, I don't know what you call it, professional? Classy? Respectful? Used to be an honor for a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And so they used to kind of say, you know, when a girl wears a skirt, Kurt, it would be, a sign of her being classy, professional. I don't know how to describe it, but it was a symbol of a woman dressing nicely and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess in our sad society, Kurt, what, that's out now?
Well, I don't know that it's out everywhere, but this is according
Thank
to the collegefix.com. I guess, Sam, over across the pond in the United Kingdom, a school there with a bunch of officials that are basically just kind of weary, they say in the article, of checking proper skirt length. They have now basically said, no skirts are allowed. So then, you know, they have uniforms, basically, is what they've got at this school. So, in my opinion, the headline is a little bit, misleading, as some headlines are. And, they say that they're concerned. You know, you've got this all the time. Everybody's always pushing the limits, et cetera. The answer, if you're concerned about this, ladies and gentlemen, hey, just teach your own children, let them wear what they want at your house. But, you know, that's in one school there. They say there's at least 40 other schools which have a similar uniform requirement out there. The old Piers Morgan, you know, the guy that went against our buddy Larry Pratt, he tweeted his support for the protesters that were, you know, worried about this whole thing. He says he's noting the gender neutral craze and saying it's out of control. He says, let girls be girls and boys be boys. I think that's pretty much past, even though I agree with him, you know. You got all these different kinds of people that we have today, not just girls and boys, I guess. But anyway, you know, that's the backstory about that. What I'm saying.
Well, what I find fascinating about this story, Kurt, is what does gender neutral mean? So you can't wear skirts, but why are pants gender neutral? See, back in the day, Kurt, girls wore dresses and skirts, and I don't think girls really wore pants at all. And now pants are worn by male and female, and then that's the gender neutral choice? See, I don't get that. I'm not saying girls can only wear skirts or dresses. I'm making a point, though, that just because girls have started to wear a lot of traditionally boys' clothes or whatever you want to call it, that's the gender neutral choice. And what is, if we're gonna say there's not just two genders, which I disagree with, I think there are only two genders, male and female, God created them is where I stand. But I bring this up because if there's really 50 genders like they claim, how could you be gender neutral, Kurt? Would gender neutral be the absence of gender at all? So the story doesn't make any sense to me. And I think it's a sad day because it used to be classy for, you know, men to be masculine men and women to be female, feminine. And that was celebrated and, you know, it was a good thing. But anyway, now they basically enforce gender-neutral dress code. I don't even know what that means. Right? Like, is a kilt traditionally female there, Kurt? Or are those panned or what? Anyway, I just don't understand it.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. I just don't really get it.
I don't know.
Right? All right, Albertsons, sadly, is in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam, along with Walmart, where they've chosen to not openly or allow the open carry of firearms. Albertsons is asking the shoppers there to not openly carry firearms. According to Fox News, WorldNet Daily had the piece. They say this is, they've joined a list of retailers. You got Walmart, Albertsons, Kroger, CVS, Walgreens, that have asked shoppers to not openly carry firearms. They say they want their stores to feel safe and welcoming for all, so we respectfully ask customers to not openly carry firearms in our stores unless they are authorized law enforcement officers. It's private property. They have the right to do that. At least they're not saying concealed carry. And, you know, for those bad guys who love, what do they call them, basically gun-free zones, this doesn't mean those are gun-free zones. It just means they don't want them to openly carry, I guess. Right, Sam?
Yeah, and what I find sad about this is don't they understand that every time a bad guy does harm with a gun, a good guy stops the bad guy, whether it be a good guy, just an individual, whether it be the police or anybody else. Every time a bad guy gets stopped, it's with a good guy with a gun, isn't it, Kurt? When you can't find a single time where that's not the case.
Right. It's, I mean.
Well, I shouldn't say you can't find a single. I'm sure there's an example where you could find an exception. Right. But I'm telling you, 99 out of 100 or more, you know, you find out that it's the good guys, right? Well, let's just talk about this armed woman to make the point, Kurt. I think she was a good gal. Can I say that? But armed woman fends off five men attempting to rob her. She said, I shot until I couldn't shoot anymore.
And you might guess this is in Texas, Sam. And according to the Western Journal, you'd kind of hope that this kind of story would just go viral everywhere, but they just don't want to talk about it. KTRK-TV reported this, says, young Houston woman shot and wounded at least one would-be robber outside of her home. According to the police, Lachelle Hudgens had just parked her car when it was approached by two men. According to KTRK-TV, they tried to reach through her driver's window and grab her purse while the three others stood nearby. She, as the story says, she fended off five men attempting to rob her, and she shot until she couldn't shoot anymore.
Well, Kurt, it sounds like she engaged the rob me not and got the job done. Pretty interesting odds. You got a woman and five men. You think the odds are against her pretty good there, Kurt. But nevertheless, good guy has a gun, Kurt, then the bad guys end up being stopped. And that's kind of my point and why I highlight these two stories together as well is to say, look, what's your name, Rochelle?
Let's see. Her
why should we take a gun away
Lachelle.
From... Lachelle, sorry. Yeah. Why should we take a gun away from Lachelle? As far as I can tell, she was living life peacefully. When bad harm came to her, she used the gun for good to stop the crime in progress. I'm glad she didn't get robbed, and I'm certainly glad she didn't get raped or anything else that could have been downstream, whatever, from that event. And, the five criminals, I hope they hesitate next time they want to attack or rob or harm somebody else. I hope they think, well, wait, what if that person has a gun, too? And so, this is a story that's probably not going to get much coverage in the news, but a story that I think should. And did she have to kill anybody, Kurt, or not?
Well, in the KTLA piece about it, it says, this is a different one. This is in California. there's another one.
Well, Kurt, if you want the truth, anyway, the good guys with guns, the rape-me-nots and the kill-me-nots and all these things, they're all over the country. You just don't hear about them. So it's easy to get mixed up when there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
They just don't want you to hear about them. They want you to hear that Albertsons is stopping the bad guys and lying about guns and stuff like that. Really, Albertsons jumped on the anti-gun bandwagon. And that's what we don't need, in my opinion. But these stories are all over the place, Kurt.
Yep. You're right. And so this Houston woman, I did find that one. It says, they tried to reach through a driver's window and grab her purse. She said, I couldn't do anything except scream. She said, at one point, they told me to stop screaming, and he reached his hand inside my car. Before the thugs could swipe her purse, she acted quickly and snatched her firearm out of it. She only fired two rounds, but that was enough to wound one robber and scare off the other men. It was all I had in my gun, she explained. I shot until I couldn't shoot anymore. The wounded suspect underwent surgery and should survive. He is expected to face charges of aggravated robbery pending an investigation. Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm grateful that she's safe, and I'm grateful we have another example of good guys with guns stopping criminals. Now, I don't know if I can use the word husband, but we're going to tell you about him anyway, okay?
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4:00 in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, I don't know if I'm allowed to use the word husband, but we're going to do it anyway, man. This husband's hanging out, right, Kurt? People are noticing
this
guy.
Yeah, Sam, but just before we go there, I just got to do my tip my hat to this thing called the WesternJournal.com, where they reported on this story. Now, WND is how we, you know, found it, WorldNetDaily.com, WND.com. But when you go to the story and read the whole thing from Western Journal, I mean, right down in the end of the story, it says, a solitary unarmed woman is an easy target. This is the author writing the story. And these suspects definitely tried to take advantage of that. There was no way for the police to get there in time. So it was all up to Hudgens. You know, Lachelle Hudgens, she said, I saved my life. I doubt these men would have attacked her. This is the author again. Attacked her if they knew she was armed, and guns often are the difference between life and death. Then he finishes up. He says, even when thrust in such a situation, Hudgens was in a position to take action. In fact, she was prepared despite never thinking she would have to fight. She said, I got the gun for that purpose, but I never thought I would have to use it. Final sentence here. Many people assume that freak tragedy is just something that happens to somebody else until it happens to them. Thankfully, Lachelle Hudgens was prepared. That's good stuff from Western Journal.
There you have
I'm really surprised.
All right, this husband's doing a pretty good job, though.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Now, he's probably a bigot and a hater and a wife, whatever, and all that kind of stuff. But I like this story, nevertheless.
Well, that's right. It's a Fox News piece, and we found it on WorldNet Daily. I don't think Fox News would promote this too much. But what you've got is a husband and wife are flying on a plane trip, and the husband, you know, wants to make sure his wife has enough room for rest. And so he stands for 6 hours while she uses both seats to rest. I mean, that's cool, right? One person
says, so
said,
wife could
I've
sleep
never been, or... yeah. One person said, I've never been that in love.
Let me stop you there for a second. And that is the sad reality of our society.
Good point.
I think in society, people haven't learned what real love and real sacrifice and real service and is. And if you haven't been that in love, my response is I'm sad for you, and I hope that you can find love to that level someday, because it is an absolute blessing. I don't know what you call it, but it's and so, you know, good for this man, good for letting him wife sleep. I'm glad that it made the wires. I'm sad to hear that, you know, the naysayers are kind of like, oh man, I've never been that in love. I wouldn't do that. I think we need more of this in our society, Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam.
See how much big of a bigot I am? How much I hate women and all that kind of stuff?
Good
wow. Anyway, pretty neat story, though. All right, teacher gives birth, Kurt. What's up with this?
Well, Sam, anytime we can see a baby being born without being killed before is good news. And this story, the headline from Well, even the Yahoo boys, brought this forward, which, to me is kind of a surprise. It says, teacher gives birth outside school with principal and dean's help. Subheadline, they were my support people. Now, this teacher, her name is Lindsay, I won't even try the last name, starts with an A, and it's got a whole bunch of letters in there, was due with her second baby, they say, on September 17th. So when the Colorado mom, there, that's where she lives, Colorado, woke up with cramps, she wrote him off as Braxton Hicks. And they say, in parentheses, these are small contractions that don't necessarily indicate early labor. So she drove to work at this school where she teaches reading to middle school students, hope for the best. She's 33 years old, and she had a busy day ahead teaching and handing out core value awards. Anyway, we won't go there. But she went to her sixth grade homeroom class, and those cramps strengthened. She said the pain felt different. And so she asked her co-teacher to cover her classroom and to alert the principal, Natalie Lewis, and the dean of students, Chris Earls, while she used the bathroom. In the classroom, the pain went from 0 to 100, she told Yahoo Lifestyle. That's moving up. Lewis and Earls walked the lady outside the building while she debated calling her mother for help. I said, we should call 911. I think the baby's coming, says the teacher. Fortunately, the lady had a sleeping bag in her car, so she laid it down on the sidewalk while the other one called for an ambulance. I laid down, and we put the dispatcher on speakerphone, who started giving delivery instructions to the two, helpers there.
I hope it wasn't after Phil Cosby kind of instructions there, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. After a few terribly painful minutes, it says.
Anyway, the reason we bring this whole story up, though, is, hey, you know what? It's
the
good
baby
news.
Was born.
Baby was born, didn't get killed. Now, I'm not really a fan of babies being born at government schools, but
right.
I will say at least the principal and the dean were helpful, and at least there was a healthy baby and a healthy mom, and we celebrate that, right?
Yes, and now she's home with her husband and their 17-month-old son, so they've got, company.
Two kids.
There. So, yeah, pretty cool.
There you go, and a husband, imagine that.
Wife. Yeah.
So there you go, two husband stories right in a row.
Well, I guess
a husband story and a wife story and a mom story and a dad story, right?
Yeah,
see, we celebrate right. That big time. All right, whacked out Pete's all I got to say, Kurt.
Yeah, well, they call him Mayor Pete because they can't say his last name. But, he says the Bible okays abortion up to their first breath, talking about killing babies. I just don't get it, Sam. But in the last days,
I can help you understand what his claim is.
Yeah.
You know what his claim is, right? In the Bible, they say God breathed life into Adam, right?
And so then you could kill the baby.
Well, they would say there's no life yet, so there's no killing yet, Kurt. That's what they would say.
Oh.
Now, I completely disagree with the view. I'm just giving you what his claim is. There you have it. but if you read the Bible carefully, I don't think that it says what he's claiming it says at all. But nevertheless, that's his, claim. I believe he's kind of manipulating that. Bible okays abortion. I also, he then says the person who should be drawing the line is the woman making the decision. So really what he's doing, in my opinion, Kurt, is trying to use the Bible to double down and pander to this pro-death agenda. That's all. Shame on Pete. I got a good news piece, though, Kurt, I want to talk about.
All right.
There's this kid. And he wanted to, wear a shirt. Okay. And what happened was he made his own Tennessee College shirt. What happened is he wanted to kind of celebrate. And so the University of Tennessee, he didn't have a shirt to wear. So he made his own. An elementary school student in Florida wanted to wear a shirt to school to support college colors. Well, he didn't own one of those shirts. So he did the next best thing he could, Kurt. He made a logo himself on paper or whatever. And then after he drew the UT logo, University of Tennessee, that is, then he taped it to the front of his shirt. He went to school. Well, poor boy was bullied for his T-shirt. And that's the sad part of the story. Now, this is where I would commend Melania Trump, by the way, for her Be Best campaign. One of the things that she's really worked on is trying to rid our society of the bullying that can take place, sadly, so often in government schools. Nevertheless, the good news out of this story, Kurt, is the boy was bullied for the T-shirt, but people got wind of it, and good people did great things. And now the college took the shirt, thought it was so phenomenal, they, turned it into a shirt that's for sale now. And now instead of the boy being teased, all kinds of people are buying the shirt in celebration of anti-bullying. And as far as I understand, a significant portion of the money is going to go to anti-bullying. And I thought it was a pretty nifty story. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam.
Pretty cool, huh?
Very good. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not normally for college sports shirts just personally, but I'd actually wear one of these.
Huh.
And the reason I would is because of the message and what happened here. Mm. We need to find ways to reject bullying and reject treating people wrongfully, or whatever word you want to use for that. We need to treat people as the Prince of Peace would. And we need to treat people kindly and stuff like that. And if the poor kid, I mean, a simpler way of this might have just been to buy the kid a shirt and say, hey, you know, I know you made your handmade shirt, but let's help you get a shirt or whatever. But they went a lot further. They turned this into not only, I don't know, the kids that were teasing him now might be buying a shirt, Kurt, is the point.
Yeah.
And I think that's good news. And I'd like to see more of this in our society. I'd like to see more examples of good people doing good things everywhere. And you know what? A bunch of money going into anti-bullying and ways to highlight this. I hope it's used correctly, you know. But at the same time, I'm just saying I like this idea to where we need to encourage kindness. We need to lead by example. And, hey, at least this kid's resourceful. At least he's saying, I'll just do what I can do, man. And we need more of that in our society, too, of scrappy, resourceful people doing the best they can with what they have. And there's honor. I'm going to say that again. There's honor in that, ladies and gentlemen. And so I'm glad that it went viral. And anyway, the mother, I guess, is writing and speaking out now, saying how grateful she is for wonderful people in her community that have turned this tragedy around to something very positive and very good. And, you know, see, I'd love to get that boy on the radio. But again, I just don't have the time to reach out and try to find him and hunt him down. I got to go to Tennessee, and then I got to get his name. Then I got to try to find the parents. Then I got to. It's really hard. Now, for the mainstream press, it's easy. I don't know what resources they have, but they can just boom. He's on CBS in 5 minutes, right? But I would love to interview this kid to know what struggle he went through and the thoughts that he had and how he feels now. And I mean, it would be a tremendous public interest story, to say the least. I'd love to promote it and support it, and I'd love to see what this kid's going to do next. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of, well, in my mind, if we're wise about it, there's a whole lot more good waves we could ride on this story and on this idea. Melania could get involved and take it to the next level. This kid, Melania, could speak on the campaign trail to Be Best and stop bullying. And by public opinion and by free market efforts and by public service announcement, we don't need a bunch of government money going into this, but we can make a tremendous difference. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be part of that. I just, again, I don't have the time and I don't have the resources. I wish I did. I wish I had more money to hire, you know, one of my interns or somebody just to go hunt this down for me. And I wish I had the funds and the resources to whatever tools are needed to do that, that I could do it. Anyway, I don't mean to just run around and wish for what I don't have. I'm just saying what we would like to do and what our efforts would be given the opportunity. Everyone needs to help. LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure.